Open your Bibles this morning to the book of 2 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the passage that Trevor read for us just a moment ago, and we will be looking at it again this morning, so you can hold your place there as we talk about the one another spirit. Before I begin, let me just once again emphasize what Andy has already said in our welcoming of our visitors and those who are with us this morning. If you are with us for the first time, please be sure and fill out one of the visitors' cards so that we can have a record of your visit. It's great to have each and every one of you with us this morning, to have you in our assembly. We are so thankful for your presence and hope and pray that the things that we have to say will be edifying and helpful and beneficial to you today as we study God's Word together. We've been preaching a short series of lessons about the Christian spirit of the first century, the spirit of the early Christians. We see a wonderful spirit about these people. We talked in Bible class this morning about the conversion process and salvation by faith. We've been talking in that series of lessons in our Bible class about the importance of the confidence that we can have because of the blood of Jesus Christ. And we see the early Christians and we see their zeal for the Lord. We see the love that they had for the Lord and for one another. Truly the wonderful spirit of generosity, a spirit of camaraderie that they had together. There's so many different ways of looking at this particular subject, I suppose, but we've just selected a few to highlight and to emphasize and to encourage us to learn the lessons of these early Christians. They were who they were because, as Brother Brent said this morning at the table, they were looking at Jesus. They were imitating the pattern of our Lord. And so the spirit of the early Christians was the spirit of our Lord. It was the zeal that He had. It was the love that He had. It was the devotion to God that He had. The obedience to the will of the Father that He had. And so this morning we'd like to continue those thoughts as we think about the spirit of the early Christians, as we think about the one another spirit. The spirit of being one with another, having that unity together. As you know, because they're a favorite of mine, we have looked before at a number of the one another passages in the New Testament. There are approximately 45. I tried to count them this week and to look all the ones up again that I know of. And there are 44, 45, 46, approximately somewhere in that area. Different one another passages in the New Testament. And those are the positive ones. I'm not counting the negative ones, like passages where the Bible talks about not envying one another or biting and devouring one another. Now, those are one another passages, but not the kind that we should imitate. And I didn't count those. But from a positive standpoint, 45 different one another passages. And some of them are repeated. For instance, we're told to love one another 13 different times in 13 different passages. But if we eliminate the repetitions, there are at least 25 different one another admonitions to admonish one another and to bear one another's burdens and to care for one another and to comfort one another and to consider one another, to provoke and to love in good works. And to edify and exhort one another, to be kind to one another, and to love one another, and forgive one another, and salute one another. And I'm not going to read the whole list for you this morning. But all these different instructions of things that we're to be one to another, the love that we are to have as we are united together, the one another in Christ Jesus. But just to think about the one another spirit that these Christians have this morning, I want to talk about being members one of another. And Trevor read to us here from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and how that we're to be members one of another, and the wonderful illustration that Paul gives of the physical body, and how that we can learn from this relationship, from this illustration, the relationship that we're to have one to another. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25, the apostle says, "Wherefore, putting away falsehood, speak ye truth, each one with his neighbor, for we are members one of another." And so we're to be members one of another. And because of that, in many of these passages that we look at them, we see the consequence of being one another people, of being members one to another. Because he says in this passage, before he says we are members one of another, he says, put away falsehood, speak truth, each one to his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Because we are members of one another, don't lie to each other. We have this relationship in Christ Jesus. And understanding that relationship and understanding that we are members one of another should cause us to speak the truth to one another, to not tell falsehoods one to another. In Romans chapter 12 and at verse 5, the apostle says, "So we who are many are one body in Christ, and severally members one of another." And so we who are many, yes, we are many, and we're going to talk about both of those concepts this morning. We are many, and yet we're one. We are individuals. We each live individually before Christ. We're reminded of our individual and also our one another responsibilities in a number of passages. As in Galatians chapter 6, where Paul says, each one is to bear their own burdens. But then he turns right around and says, bear one another's burdens. And so I have burdens that I must bear. I have responsibilities that I must meet. There are things that I must be doing, because Wilson has a responsibility before our God and our Lord Jesus Christ. But also I have a responsibility to others. I have to bear others' burdens. I have to be an encouragement to others. I have to help others. I have to lift up others when they need my help and my support. And so individual as well as my responsibility to others. And so there are many in one body in Christ, and severally members thereof. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning at verse 12 through 26. And open your Bibles there. And we're going to look at that passage again, and we're going to look at it in some more detail. I had Trevor read part of it for us this morning. But notice the passage and notice what Paul teaches and what Paul says here. He says, beginning at verse 12, "For as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether bond or free, and we're all made to drink of one spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. For the foot shall say, if the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it not therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it not therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where is the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where is the smelling? But now hath God set members, each one of them, in the body, even as it pleased him. And if they were all one member, then where is the body?" We're going to look at more in just a moment as we go on down. But Paul is using this illustration to teach us of the unity that we should have in the body. And that's the point that I want to start with this morning as we think about this wonderful illustration. It is, first of all, I suppose there is no better illustration of the unity that we should have as a church, as the Lord's church, as whether we're talking about the church as a whole in a universal sense of all of God's people everywhere, but in a local congregation as we work, as we function, as we worship, as we work together to accomplish the Lord's will. I suppose there's no better example of unity than the physical body which we have. And so, just think about the physical body. I've just given one little illustration here of how the body works together. the body works together and we don't even think about it. We just go about our day and the body walks and the body talks and the body smells and the body does all these things together. And we don't think about how all the moving parts are so perfectly working together. But just think about the baker as they're baking a cake. The whole body is involved. The eye reads the cookbook. The feet and the legs carry the cook around the kitchen, gathering up the ingredients so they can make the cake. The hands and the arms hold the spoon and they stir the bowl. The mouth takes a taste with the help of the finger that's dipped into the bowl. And the mouth takes a taste to see if the mixture is correct or not, if it needs a little more salt, if it needs a little bit more sugar, if it needs a little bit more cocoa, whatever kind of cake you're making. And once the mixture is the way that the cook wants the mixture to be, the hands and the arms pour it into a container that's going to be put into the oven. And so they carry it over to the oven. And the back bends over while the hands and the arms put the cake into the oven. And once the cake begins to bake, in a little while, the nose begins to smell. And the voice says, "I think it's almost done." All the body is working together. Every single piece of the body is working together. There's no better example of unity and the need for unity and the perfect unity of all the parts working together than the physical body. And of course, that is exactly the illustration that Paul uses here in this 1 Corinthians chapter 12 passage. Now, one reason I want to emphasize that we are members one of another is that often when we think of members in our culture, in our day and time, and in our society, sometimes when we think of members or membership, we're not necessarily thinking of something that's strongly united, like the physical body is so strongly united. There are a number of memberships that you may have. When we think of membership, sometimes we think of not unity, but we think of privileges or we think of benefits of being a part of a group. For example, you may be, as I am, a member of AAA, the Automobile Club Association. I've been a member since I first moved to Minnesota, 40 years, I guess, almost. And I'm glad I am. That's one membership I'm not sad to pay the membership every year. They bail me out a number of times with tows and starts and locking my keys in my car. I've done it twice in the last year. I guess I'm getting old. That's my excuse. I've had to come here to the building while I waited for them to come to bail me out so they could get my keys out of my car that I locked in the car. It's paid for itself. I guarantee it's paid for itself. But you may have a membership like that. Maybe a member of AAA. But when I think of my membership in AAA, I think of privileges. I don't think of unity. In fact, I don't know that I know any other member in AAA. Maybe some of you are. I don't know. But that's not what I think of. I don't think of unity. I don't think of spending time together with other members of AAA. That relationship, when I think of AAA, I don't think of relationship. I just think of privileges and benefits from being a member. American Express. Membership has its privileges. Isn't that what they used to advertise? They didn't say membership has its unity and love for each other. They didn't say that. They were thinking of the benefits of being a member. Or maybe it's Lions Club, or maybe it's your health club or your gymnasium. You don't go for the socializing. You don't go because of the relationships you have with other people. You go to work out. And if there's ever an organization that does not picture unity for us, it's Congress. And yet we talk about our members of Congress, and they are not working like a well-oiled machine, are they? It's not like the physical body. So I just use these illustrations to point out sometimes when we think of membership, we don't think of unity and love and togetherness and the benefit that we are to each other as far as those kind of relationships. We think of other benefits that come from membership. But my fear is that sometime in the Lord's church, we think of membership in the way that we think of these kind of memberships today. We don't think of unity and love and the togetherness of being members one of another and caring for one another and helping one another. We don't think of relationship when we think of our membership, that we are members one of another. We think of being a member of the church like we think of a member of the Lions Club. I go to the meetings. What else do you do? Nothing. Oh, I give them my money. I give my money to the Lions Club. I'm a paying member to the Lions Club. I'm not, but you could say that if you are. I'm not a member of Lions or Kiwanis or Rotary. But some people are that way with Kiwanis and Rotary. They go, they believe in the organization, they help children, and so they pay their money, and they go to the Rotary Club, and they go to the meetings, and there may be some good speakers there occasionally, but that's their extent of their relationship and membership in the Rotary Club. And that's the extent of sometimes our relationship and membership in the Lord's church. We pay our dues. I pay my money. And someone asked me, what church are you a member of? I'm a member of the Church of Christ. And I go sometimes, not regularly, but occasionally I go. And just enough to keep my membership up so the preacher won't call me and bug me for not coming. And I give my money there. But do I have a relationship with any of the other members? Do I have a feeling of oneness with them? Nah, I don't hardly know them. Does so-and-so go to your church? I don't know. I really don't know the people there. Then how can you be a member? Would the hand say that? Is the foot a part of your body? Oh, I don't know. I really don't hang around with the rest of the members. Well, how absurd that would be. Membership. Paul says we are members. We are members. One of another. The body is one. The body is to be united under our head, Jesus Christ. There must be unity if we're to accomplish the Lord's will. There must be unity if we're to accomplish what the head, our head Jesus Christ, desires for us to accomplish. He has revealed His will in His Word. He has talked about the work that the church is to do. He's talked about the worship that we are to enjoy and benefit in and share together as we worship Him, as we worship the Father who is in heaven. There must be this unity that God wants of His people, members together. Livy was a Roman historian about 500 years B.C. And I saw this illustration in Mike Willis's commentary on the book of 1 Corinthians, and he was quoting another commentary from Moffat. So if these individuals are correct, I didn't have the sources to look up Livy myself. But Livy wrote, as he was talking about this idea of being a member, used the idea of membership. And he says, the members of the body complained against the belly. Because they said the belly was lazy and all the belly did was sit around and accept food. And accepted all this good food and it never did anything. I guess they didn't understand what the belly really did. But anyway, that was the complaint he said of the body. And so they were going to go on strike against the belly. But pretty soon they realized they were starving to death. You can't go and strike against the belly. You can't go and strike against the heart. You can't go and strike against the lungs. You can't pit one part of the body against another part of the body. They're all supposed to work together. We are one. The body is one. Many members, and yet one body. And so the body is one, and yet, Paul says here in verse 12, it has many members. Paul is emphasizing in these verses 14 through 19 that each member is important and each member is valuable. He doesn't say so in so many words, although he comes pretty close to it later in the chapter when he says in verse 28 that God has set some in the church, first apostles, then prophets and teachers and miracles and gifts. And he talks about some of the different members, some of the different gifts that are in the church. So he comes pretty close to saying it, but what's clear in the book of 1 Corinthians is that there was jealousies and there was envies and there was fighting among them. And apparently there were certain of the gifts among them, like the gift of tongue speaking, that was more desirable, that was more showy or something, and that was the one they wanted. Everybody wanted to speak in tongues. Wouldn't that be great if I could speak in languages, which I never... And so some of the gifts that God had given were more to be preferred than others. And those that had those gifts were others were jealous of those people. And that goes apparently both ways, and he illustrates both ways in this passage. There can be those that have a lesser gift, we might say by the way we look at it, on the lower end of the totem pole. And they're looking up at others who they have a gift that they wish they had, and they're jealous of them, and they feel unimportant. They feel unimportant because I don't have that other gift. He has this great gift, and I just have this little peon gift down here. And then he reverses it, and later in the chapter, he talks about those who are up here, who up here in their minds are looking down on others because I've got this great gift in me. And so the kind of the looking down on others who don't have what I have. And Paul speaks to both, and Paul reminds both, and Paul warns both. First to those who would look up at others and envy and be jealous and envious of what they have. He says to them, don't think you're unimportant. Just because you don't have the same gift that someone else has, remember we are one body. We are many members, but we're one body. And each part of the body functions at its own function, as its own purpose and its own reason, and we're all to work together. And so he says in verse 15, if the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not a part of the body, is it not therefore not of the body? If the foot feels inferior because it's not the hand, the feet we cover up and we put shoes on, and no one ever gets to see the foot. And the foot would say, no one ever gets to see me. And everyone sees your beautiful hands. Or if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I'm not a part of the body. Is it not therefore not a part of the body? The ear may feel inferior. The ear says, those eyes are so beautiful. Nobody looks at my ears. Nobody looks at me, says the ear. Look at that young man. He's sitting across the table at McDonald's, and he's just staring into the eyes of that young lady. He's not staring into her ears. He doesn't think, oh, those are beautiful ears. He says, oh, those are beautiful eyes. The eyes get all the attention. That's not fair. And the ear feels inferior. And he says, if the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole body were hearing, where would be the smelling? What's he saying? Every part of the body is important. You may not think you get the attention that you deserve, but every part of the body is important. Every part of the body is unique, and every part of the body is valuable. And so we just need to learn to use whatever gifts God has given us and use them as best as we can for the proper functioning of the body. And then he goes on to say that each part of the body should be honored. And so again, to flip it, to reverse it, in these verses 20 to 23, he speaks to those apparently who might look down upon others. And so in verse 21 he says, and the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of thee, or again the head to the feet, I have no need of thee. but much rather those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary, and those parts of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness, whereas our comely parts have no need. But God tempered the body together, giving more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body. Do you have parts that are prettier than others? Yeah, you do. You do. From one standpoint, you do. The hands are prettier than the feet. Eyes are prettier than the ears. The face is prettier than the backside of your shoulder. And we could go on and on and on. Your face is prettier than your liver. But you need that liver. You need that liver. If you don't, you're going to die. Right? And so we understand. But sometimes there are certain parts of the body that don't get honored the way they might think that they should get honored. And sometimes the prettier the body, the pretty parts of the body might look down, at least in relationship situations like in the church, might look down upon those who are considered less honorable. And we realize we might have some parts that are prettier, but I tell you what, my toes aren't that pretty, but I don't want them to hurt. I take care of them. When you're not around, I take care of them. I pull those shoes off and I clean out those toes and I take care of them and I rub them down and I clip the toenails. I take care of them. Because if I don't, you can't walk very good, can you? You don't take care of your feet, you're going to be miserable. Those uncomely parts, those unpretty parts, we take care of it. We take care of it. And we all have parts that are less honorable. And because of our modesty, we all have parts that we don't show. But those parts are important to us also. And so he talks about the uncomely parts. But boy, some of those uncomely parts, if they get to hurt, or if we don't take care of them, or if they get sick. Have you ever been sick in one of your uncomely parts? Someone says, "Oh, Wilson, we missed you Sunday. How come you're sick?" "Well, never mind. I'm just sick. None of your business. I'm just sick. I don't want to talk about it." But those uncomely parts we take care of. Because they can make us just as sick and just as miserable or more miserable than the pretty parts that we have. And Paul is teaching us a lesson from both ends of the spectrum, that we have a responsibility one to another. We are members of the same body. And in Christ, we're members of the same body. And there may be some members that get more honor. And there may get some members that are more out in front. But he's trying to get the brethren at Corinth to understand, especially in their context of these spiritual gifts, that all these gifts were to work together. And the body is to work together. And one has one ability and talent, and one has another ability and talent. And we need to appreciate one another's talents. We need to praise one another and honor one another for one another's talents. And we need to all have the attitude, "I'm just going to chip in here and do the very best that I can." For what purpose? For the good of the head. For the good of the head. That's what we're really working towards, isn't it? For the good of the Christ who died for us and who died. And so we care for each one. And we honor in each one. And we love each one. And we make sure that each one is cared for. And if someone's hurting, we're there for them. And if someone is honored, we honor them. And if someone was sad, we're sad with them. It's not the Kiwanis Club. It's not a gym membership. That's not the nature of our being members together. We're a body. We're a spiritual body of Christ. And members are to care for one another. And when you're working and the hammer slips and hits the thumb, the rest of the body comes to the rescue. or if you trip over something in the driveway and you skin your knee or you bust your arm, the rest of the body comes to the rescue, because when one is hurting, we're all hurting. And those are the lessons the Lord wants us to learn. He says members should have the same care for one another. That's when so many of these other one another passages come in. Caring for one another, loving one another, forgiving each other. If one of the members does something wrong, what do? We forgive. When they ask for forgiveness, we forgive and we bring them back in and we love them and we hug them and we take care of them and we bear whatever burdens they have. We edify and we exhort and we admonish one another. Sometimes we have to kick each other a little bit. Sometimes we have to remind each other that we've messed up a little bit in a loving, concerned way. We're to bear each other's burdens, as we said. We're to comfort one another when there's sorrows. We're to consider one another. We're to think about one another. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. Consider one another. Do you go all week without thinking about your brothers and sisters? Have you considered the needs of your brothers and sisters? Do we think about the needs of each one? Do we know the names of each one? Are we concerned about each one? Do we have a relationship with one another? Consider one another. How can we consider each other if we don't know each other? To provoke unto love and good works. Show hospitality to one another. Serve one another. Wash one another's feet. Maybe not literally, but in the sense of the one right above it, serving one another. Caring for one another. Helping one another. We need to always pull together as members of the body. We are the body of Christ and severally members thereof. We are members one of another. We are connected one to the other. We have responsibilities one to another. We're to show love one to another. I'm not in this primarily for what I can get. I should be in this primarily for what I can give. Jesus gave for me, and now I need to be giving for others. Yes, I'm in it for giving, getting the forgiveness of sins and the hope of life eternal. We emphasized in class this morning, our brother Brian emphasized in class this morning, the love of Jesus constrains us. The love of Christ constrains us. When we think about what He has done, I need to be serving others. We love Him because He first loved us. We love others because He first loved us. And we are members of one another. If you're not a member, you need to be a member. Not of some club or organization, but of the body of Christ. Being forgiven by the blood of Jesus, baptized into Christ, raised to walk a new life, members of His spiritual body, and working and encouraging others who are also in that body. If we can help and encourage you in any way, let that be known. While together we stand and sing the song of the Lord.